Osho, Vigyan Bhairav Tantra, Volume 1, The Book of the Secrets, A New Commentary, Discourse Number 3, given in Bombay, India.
Truth is always here. It is already the case. It is not something to be achieved in future. You are the truth, just here and now. So it is not something which is to be created, or something which is to be desired, or something which is to be sought. Understand this very clearly, then these techniques will be easy to understand and also to do. Mind is a mechanism of desiring. Mind is always in desire, seeking something, asking something. Always the object is in the future. Mind is not concerned with the present at all. This very moment, mind cannot move. There is no space. So mind needs future to move. It can move either in the past or in the future. It cannot move in the present. There is no space. And the truth is in the present. And mind always in the future or in the past. So there is no meeting between mind and truth. When mind is seeking worldly objects, it is not so difficult. The problem is not absurd. It can be solved. But when the mind starts seeking the truth, then the very effort becomes nonsense. Because the truth is here and now, and mind is always then and there. There is no meeting. So understand the first thing, you cannot seek truth. You can find it, but you cannot seek it. The very seeking is the hindrance. The moment you start seeking, you have moved away from the present, away from yourself. Because you are always in the present. The seeker is always in the present, and the seeking in the future. You are never going to meet whatsoever you are seeking. Lao Tzu says, seek not, otherwise you will miss. Seek not and find. Don't seek. And find. All these techniques of Shiva are simply turning the mind from the future or from the past to the present. That which you are seeking is already there. It is the case already. So mind has to be turned from seeking to non-seeking. It is difficult. If you think it intellectually, it is very difficult. How to turn the mind from seeking to non-seeking? Because then the mind makes non-seeking itself the object. Then the mind said, don't seek. Then the mind says, I should not seek. Then the mind says, now non-seeking is my object. Now I desire the state of desirelessness. The seeking has entered again. The desire has come again. Through the back door. That's why there are people who are seeking worldly objects, and there are people who think they are seeking non-worldly objects. All objects are worldly. Because seeking is the world. So you cannot seek anything non-worldly. The moment you seek, it becomes the world. If you are seeking God, your God is part of the world. If you are seeking moksha, nirvana, liberation, your liberation is part of the world. Your liberation is not something transcending the world, because seeking is the world, desiring is the world. So you cannot desire nirvana. You cannot desire non-desire. So if you try to understand intellectually, it will become a puzzle. Shiva says nothing about it. He immediately proceeds to give techniques. They are non-intellectual. He doesn't say to Devi that the truth is here. Don't seek it, and you will find it. He immediately gives techniques. Those techniques are non-intellectual. Do them and the mind turns. The turning is just a consequence, just a byproduct, not an object. The turning is just a byproduct. If you do the technique, your mind will turn from its journey into the future or into the past. Suddenly you will find yourself in the present. That's why Buddha has given techniques. Lao Tse has given techniques. Krishna has given techniques. But they always introduce their techniques with intellectual concepts. Only Shiva is different. He gives immediately techniques with no intellectual understanding, no intellectual introduction, because he knows the mind is tricky. The most cunning thing possible. It can turn anything into a problem. Non-seeking will become the problem. There are people who come to me and they say, how not to desire? They are desiring non-desire. Somebody has said them, or somewhere they have read, or they have heard spiritual gossip, that if you don't desire, you will reach bliss. If you don't desire, you will be free. If you don't desire, there will be no suffering. Now their mind hankers to attain that state where there is no suffering. So they say, how not to desire? Their mind is playing tricks. They are still desiring. Now only the object has changed. They were desiring money. They were desiring fame. They were desiring prestige. They were desiring power. Now they are desiring non-desire. Only the object has changed, and they remain the same, and the desire remains the same. But now the desire has become more deceptive. Because of this, Shiva proceeds immediately, with no introduction whatsoever. He immediately starts talking about techniques. Those techniques, if followed, suddenly turn your mind. It comes to the present. And when the mind comes to the present, it stops. It is no more. You cannot be a mind in the present. That is impossible. Just now, if you are here and now, how you can be a mind? Thoughts cease because they cannot move. Present has no space to move. You cannot think. If you are in this very moment, how you can move? Mind stops. You attain to no mind. So the real thing is how to be here and now. You can try, but effort may prove futile. Because if you make it a point to be in the present, then this point has moved into the future. You ask how to be in the present. Again, you are asking about the future. This moment is passing in the inquiry how to be present, how to be here and now. This present moment is passing in the inquiry, and your mind will begin to web, create dreams in the future. Someday you will be in a state of mind when there is no movement, no motive, no seeking, and then there is bliss. So how to be in the present? Shiva doesn't talk anything about it. He simply gives a technique. You do it, and suddenly you find you are here and now. And your being here and now is the truth. And your being here and now is the freedom. And your being here and now is the nirvana. The first 9 techniques, they are concerning breathing. So let us understand something about breathing, and then we proceed to the techniques. We are breathing continuously from the moment of birth to the moment of death. Everything changes. Between these 2 points, everything changes. Nothing remains the same, only breathing is a constant thing. Between birth and death, the child will become young, the youth will become old, you will be diseased, body will become ugly, ill. Everything will change. You will be happy, unhappy, in suffering. Everything will go on changing. But whatsoever happens between these 2 points, you must breathe. Whether happy or unhappy, young or old, successful or unsuccessful, whatsoever you are, it is irrelevant. One thing is certain. Between these 2 points of birth and death, you must breathe. Breathing will be a continuous flow. No gap is possible. If even for a single moment you forget to breathe, you will be no more. That's why you are not required to breathe, because then it will be difficult. Someone may forget to breathe for a single moment, and then nothing can be done. So really you are not breathing because you are not needed. You are fast asleep and breathing goes on. You are unconscious and breathing goes on. You are in a deep coma and breathing goes on. You are not required. Breathing is something which goes on in spite of you. It is one of the constant factors in your personality. First thing, something which is very essential and basic to life. Second thing, you cannot be alive without breath. So breath and life have become synonymous. Breathing is the mechanism of life. Life is deeply related with breathing. That's why in India we call it prana. We have given one word for both. Prana means the vitality, the aliveness. So your life is your breath. Thirdly, your breath is a bridge between you and your body. Constantly, breath is bridging you to your body, connecting you, relating you to the body. Not only with the body, your breath is a bridge, it is also a bridge between you and the universe. Body is just universe which has come to you, nearer to you. Your body is part of the universe. Everything in the body is part of the universe. Every particle, every cell. It is the nearest approach to the universe. Your body is the nearest approach to the universe. Breath is the bridge. If the bridge is broken, you are no more in the body. If the bridge is broken, you are no more in the universe. You move into some unknown dimension. You cannot be found then in space and time. So thirdly, breath is also the bridge between you and space and time. Breath, therefore, becomes very significant, the most significant thing. So the first nine techniques are concerning breath. If you can do something with breath, you will suddenly turn to the present. If you can do something with breath, you will attain to the source of life. If you can do something with breath, you can transcend time and space. If you do something with breath, you will be in the world and also beyond it. Breath has two points. One, where it is touching the body and the universe. Another, where it is touching you and that which transcends universe. We know only one part of the breath. When it moves into the universe, into the body, we know it. But it is moving always from the body to the no body, from the no body to the body. We don't know the other point. If you become aware of the other point, the other part of the bridge, the other pole of the bridge, suddenly you will be transformed. Transformed, transplanted into a different dimension. But remember, what Shiva is going to say is not yoga, it is tantra. Yoga also works on breath. But the work of yoga and tantra is basically different. Yoga tries to systematize breathing. If you systematize your breathing, your health will improve. If you systematize your breathing and if you know the secrets of breathing, your life will become longer. You will be more healthy and you will live longer. You will be more strong, more filled with energy, more vital, alive, young, fresh. But Tantra is not concerned with that. Tantra is concerned not with any systematization of breath, but using breath just as a technique to turn inwards. One is not to practice a particular style of breathing, a particular system of breathing, or a particular rhythm of breathing. No. One has to take breathing as it is. Just one has to become aware of certain points in breathing. There are certain points. We are not aware of them. We have been breathing and we will go on breathing. We are born breathing and we will die breathing. But we are not aware of certain points. And this is strange. Man is searching, probing deep into space. Man is going to the moon. Man is trying to reach farther from Earth into this space, and man has not yet learned the most nearest part of his life. There are certain points in breathing which you have never observed, and those points are the doors, nearest doors to you, from where you can enter into a different world, into a different being, into a different consciousness. Reach to the moon is not very difficult. It is a grass journey. You need mechanism, you need technology, you need accumulated information, and then you can reach it. Breathing is the nearest to you. And nearer a thing is, difficult to perceive it. More near, more difficult. More obvious, more difficult. It is so near to you, again there is no space between you and your breathing. Or there is such a small space that you will need a very minute observation, only then you will become aware of certain points. These points are the basis of these techniques. So now I will take each technique. Shiva replies, Radiant One, this experience may dawn between two breaths. After breath comes in and just before turning up the beneficence. One technique. Radiant One, this experience may dawn between two breaths. After breath comes in, that is down, and just before turning out, that is going up, be beneficence, be aware. Between these two points and the happening, when your breath comes in, observe. When your breath comes in, observe. For a single moment or a thousandth part of a moment, there is no breathing. Before it turns up, before it turns going outward, one breath comes in, then there is a certain point breathing stops, then the breathing goes out. When the breathing goes out, then again for a single moment or a part of a moment breathing stops, then breathing comes in. Before turning in or before turning out, there is a moment when you are not breathing. That moment the happening is possible, because when you are not breathing, you are not in the world. Understand this: when you are not breathing, you are dead. You are still, but dead. But the moment is of such a short duration, you never observe it. For Tantra, each breath is a death, and each new breath is a rebirth. Breath coming in is rebirth. Breath going out is death. The outgoing breath is synonymous with death. The incoming breath is synonymous with life. So with each breath you are dying and reborn. And the gap between the two, it is of very short duration, but keen, sincere observation and attention will make you feel the gap. If you can feel the gap, Shiva says, the beneficence, then nothing else is needed. You are blessed. You have known. The thing has happened. You are not to train the breath, just as it is. Why? Such a simple technique, it looks so simple. Such a simple technique to know the truth. To know the truth means to know that which is neither born nor dies. To know that eternal element which is always. But you can know the breath going out, you can know the breath coming in. You never know the gap between the two. Try it. Suddenly, if you can get the point, and you can get it, it is already there. Nothing is to be added to you. Add to your structure. It is already there. Everything is already there. Only a certain awareness. So how to do this? First become aware of breath coming in. Watch it. Forget everything. Just watch breath coming in. The very passage when the breath touches your nostrils. Feel it there. Then let the breath move in. Move with the breath, fully conscious. you are going down, down, down with the breath. Don't miss the breath. Don't go ahead. Don't follow. Just go with it. Remember this. Don't go ahead. Don't follow it like a shadow. Be simultaneous with it. Breath and consciousness should become one. Breath goes in, you go in. Only then it will be possible to get the point which is between two breaths. It will not be easy. Move with the breath, then move with the breath out, in, out, in, out. Buddha tried and used this method particularly. So this method has become a Buddhist method. In Buddhist terminology, it is known as Anapanasati Yoga. And Buddha's enlightenment was based on this technique, only this. All the religions of the world, all the seers of the world have reached through some technique or other, and all those techniques will be in these 112 techniques. This first one is Buddhist technique. It has become known in the world as Buddhist technique because Buddha attained his enlightenment through this technique. Buddha says, be aware of your breath, coming in, going out, coming in, going out. He never mentions the gap because there is no need. Buddha thinks and he feels, if you become concerned with the gap between two breaths, that concern may disturb your awareness. So he simply says, be aware when the breath is going in, move with it. And when the breath is going out, move with it. Do simple this, going in, going out with the breath. He never says anything about the latter part of the technique. The reason is Buddha was talking with a very ordinary man. Even that may create a desire to attain the interval. That desire to attain the interval will become a barrier into awareness. Because if you are desiring to get to the interval, you will move ahead. Breath will be coming in and you will move ahead because you are interested in the gap which is going to be in the future. Buddha never mentions it. So Buddhist technique is just half. But the other half follows automatically. If you go on practicing breath consciousness, breath awareness, suddenly one day, without knowing, you will come to the interval. Because as the awareness will become keen and deep and intensive, as your awareness will become bracketed, the whole world is bracketed out. Only your breath coming in or going out is your world, the whole arena for your consciousness. Suddenly you are bound to feel the gap when there is no breath. When you are moving with breath minutely, how can you remain unaware when there is no breath? You will become suddenly aware that there is no breath, and the moment will come when you will feel now neither the breath is going out nor the breath is coming in. Breath has stopped completely. In that stoppage, the beneficence. This one technique is enough for millions. The whole Asia, tried and lived with this technique for centuries. Tibet, China, Japan, Burma, Thailand, Siam, Ceylon, the whole Asia except India has tried this technique, only one technique. And thousands and thousands have attained to enlightenment through this technique. And this is only the first technique. But unfortunately, because the technique became associated with Buddha's name, Hindus have been trying to avoid it. Because it became more and more known as Buddhist method, Hindus have completely forgotten it. Not only this, because this technique is the first technique mentioned by Shiva, many Buddhists have claimed that this book, Vigyan Bhairav Tantra, is a Buddhist book, not a Hindu book. It is neither Hindu nor Buddhist. And technique is just technique. Buddha used it, but it was there already to be used. Buddha became a Buddha because of the technique. Technique preceded Buddha. Technique was already there. Try it. It is one of the most simplest techniques. Simplest compared to other techniques. I am not saying simple for you. Other techniques will be more and more difficult. That's why it is mentioned as the first technique. The second. All these nine techniques are concerned with breath. As breath turns from down to up, and again as breath curves from up to down, through both these turns realize the same, but with a slight difference. The emphasis is not now on the gap, but on the turning. Outgoing, ingoing breath, they make a circle. Remember, these are not two parallel lines. We always think of them as two parallel lines. Breath going in and breath going out. We think these are two parallel lines. They are not. Breath going in is half the circle. Breath going out is other half of the circle. So understand first, breath in and out creates a circle. They are not parallel lines, because parallel lines never meet anywhere. Secondly, the breath coming in and the breath going out are not two breaths, one breath. The same breath which comes in goes out. So it must have a turn inside. It must turn somewhere. There must be a point where the incoming breath becomes outgoing. This turning. Why? Why such emphasis on turning? Because Shiva says, as breath turns from down to up, and again as breath curves from up to down, through both these turns realize. Very simple. But he says, realize the turn, and you will realize the self. Why turn? If you know driving, you know gears. Each time you change a gear, you have to pass through the neutral gear, which is not a gear at all. From first gear you move to second, or from second to third, always you have to move through the neutral gear. That neutral gear is the turning point. In that turning point, the first gear becomes the second becomes the third. When your breath goes in and turns out, it is in a neutral gear. Otherwise, it cannot turn out. It passes the neutral territory. In that neutral territory, you are neither a body nor a soul, neither physical nor mental. Because physical is a gear of your being, mental is another gear of your being. You go on moving from gear to gear, but you must have a